the roar.
You do one thing when you wake up tomorrow. Bring it.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Deadhead Tiger says, have you talked to Lord Stanley's Cup yet? Yes, we did, Deadhead Tiger.
You're darn right we did.
The whole first segment. Check it out online on our podcast.
WCCPFM.com. I'm uploading it as we speak, buddy.
That's right. That's exactly right. Texas said, Mickey, you're naive. They investigated North Carolina's program for years, end up taking zero action. That was because of a loophole that North Carolina tried to play and successfully played it, that was an academic issue, not a athletic issue. And the NCAA, they said that was outside the NCAA's jurisdiction. I disagree with that, but that's how they played that one. I'm just telling you, the NCAA now, their backs are against the wall, and people are watching, and coaches are watching, and boosters are watching, and this is it. This is their Waterloo's not the right word, is it? This is it. They have no other choice.
This is their Waterloo. Backs against the wall.
Right.
Here we go.
Got to come out fighting. Because what the guy said is, quote, the main thing is that we're up and ready, we're moving forward, and you will see consequences. Now, that is coming from Stan Wilcox, the NCAA's Vice President of Regulatory Affairs. Mark my words, it's coming. Now, I don't blame you for being skeptical. But that's the old days. The new days are, we are getting control of the shoe stuff, of the agent stuff, and of the runner stuff. So, I hope I'm not wrong. I hope you guys are wrong. Nick is in Anderson, 654 Roar. Hey, Nick, thanks for hanging on, man. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Well, yes, I am, Mickey. And I have a breaking news. I don't already know the sit schools are. It's Arizona Christian College. It's Florida Tech. It's Georgia State, North Carolina A&T, Tri County Tech. Don't know if they made it, but and South Carolina State. I mean, those are big schools that they're going after.
Yeah, they were so mad at Kentucky cheating, they put Cleveland State on probation. Yeah.
But I don't know if you actually also get to see this story last night where the girl with cancer got to go. I think it was the girl with cancer got to go to the got a call from a doctor that she's free to fly to Boston from St. Louis to see the game last night, and she was one of the first ones to get to be with the team.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That one. Yeah, I saw that, and then she was on the ice last night after the game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. She was in tears finding it all out, and the mom and all that, and then the way the players treated her, I thought that was absolutely fantastic, no doubt.
Hey, I just want to get on calling without breaking news. I hope y'all have a good day.
Nick, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks an awful lot. Text it. Is there Alamo? I don't even know what Waterloo is. Is there Alamo? But in Alamo, everybody died.
Yeah, everyone dies in the Alamo.
You're saying it's Custer versus the Indians in the NCAA versus the...
0-2 there, buddy.
No, I'm saying the NCAA versus all the cheaters is like Custer and the Indians.
Who is the NCAA in that situation?
Well, considering that the huge massacre that occurred there, it's pretty obvious, right?
Okay. I watched the John Wayne Alamo movie the other day.
I mean, the Alamo's a great story.
I love John Wayne movies, by the way.
You do?
I'm a huge sucker.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
The Alamo is a great story. But let's remember this. Everyone inside the Alamo died, right?
Everyone inside, yes.
Okay. So, that's awesome. That's great. But if we're a Machiavellian...
You got a little edge to you, this one. I love
no,
it.
No, no edge at all.
I am so excited about it.
No, no edge at all.
A little edge to you? Edgy Plattler.
No, no edge at all.
I'm excited about
none.
It.
None. None whatsoever. Chad in Tempe, Arizona said the podcast is gold. I just got done listening to Tuesday and Wednesday show before 7 a.m. Binge going on here. I love it, man. I appreciate you guys saying
7-hour binge going on over there in Tempe. How about that?
Yeah. All right, setting aside on Waterloo. What was Waterloo?
You know what Waterloo is. Think back to your history class.
Yeah.
Really
do you know? Hold on, buddy. Do you know how long ago my history class was?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually during Waterloo itself. So no. Waterloo. I'm looking at this up now. I had to look it up.
Yep.
Waterloo,
1815. 1815.
What?
Fall in the Netherlands at that time. I think it's Belgium now.
By the way, Napoleon was in 1815?
Yeah. When did you think Napoleon was?
I thought Napoleon was 100 years before that. Seriously?
Napoleon.
I thought Napoleon was pre-Revolutionary War.
No.
I did not know that.
How about that? Look How about you that?
I learned something. I had no idea.
A lot of guys there at this one. 118,000 and 73,000 apiece. 41,000 casualties on the French side. That's a lot of people dying.
Yeah, 65,000 people died at Waterloo.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I, honest to goodness, man, I thought that Napoleon was pre-Revolutionary War.
Well,
I learned something today.
Now you know.
How about that? Now I learned something here. Now maybe my gut might be wrong on this. But we've had a twist in this David Ortiz story. According to ESPN, six suspects. One guy shot him, right? They got him, they beat him on the ground, got him, they kicked him in the head.
I thought it was eight suspects, and they have seven of the eight right now.
This six suspects, including the alleged gunman, have been detained.
Yeah, so they have seven. No, six?
This is six. Now, this is from, this is at 1:07 a.m.
All right, whatever. So six.
Six have been detained for shooting former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz, according to a Dominican Republic chief prosecutor. Other suspects were also being pursued, which witnesses said carried out by two men on a motorcycle and two other people in cars. Chief prosecutor Jean-Alain Rodriguez said, at the moment, they're being interrogated and will continue deepening the investigation to get the truth about what happened. Unquote. The authorities declined to give the motive for the shooting at the popular nightclub. Among those in custody, blah, you know, AK. Oh, I love the AKA names now. AKA Sandy. And there's AKA the Surgeon, as well as a woman named AKA the Venezuelan or Red. This looks like some sort of like Netflix kind of set up to me. David Ortiz's wife said in a statement that he's able to sit up and as he recuperates in intensive care. But where this takes a little bit of a turn here is that the gunman was offered $8,700 to shoot and kill David Ortiz. Now, I don't know who the Venezuelan or Red is, and I don't know who Louis Alfredo Ruiz Clase, a.k.a. the Surgeon, who they're still at large. And I don't know what they had against.
If your nickname is the Surgeon, you're a bad dude, right?
Yes.
No, you're a bad dude.
If you're known in the country as the Surgeon, then something's going on there. He was offered 400,000 Dominican pesos, or approximately $7,800 American dollars to carry out the shooting. He's also said the alleged conductor is among those in custody now. Alleged coordinator, I should say. I got to tell you, I don't know what Louis Alfredo Ruiz Clase, a.k.a. the surgeon, or a woman known as the Venezuelan or Red, or these two other men had. But this didn't look like my gut is right on this. When I first saw it, I'm like, Big Poppy's going to have diamond earrings. Big Poppy's going to have, a bunch of cash on him. That this is going to be a robbery. But you saw the video. I hadn't seen the video of it yet. And you're telling me it wasn't a robbery. It was a hit.
Obviously, yeah.
So now the question would be, why? What is going on in Big Poppy's world that someone wants to pay 400,000 Dominican pesos, a.k.a. $1,700, to take out David Ortiz?
I don't know.
A bunch of shady stuff there. Bunch of shady stuff. And I don't want to sound...
I mean, can we let the guy get off his deathbed first?
No, he's off his deathbed.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, look. You don't just...
Tough place to go right now, Dominican Republic.
The murder rate right now stands at 12.5 killings per 100,000 people. It's in the top 10 to 15% of the most violent countries in the world.
Shooting beloved countrymen, perceived beloved countrymen. American tourists dropping like flies down there.
Yeah. Takes this assassination plot by the Yankees. It's not funny. There's some... Something happened. I'm getting a bunch of texts in about messing around with some old ladies, messing around with some owing some money. I get all that. Something happened. Now, you don't just the biggest star in a Dominican, one of the biggest stars in Dominican history, and all of a sudden you don't pay $80 or $7,800 because you just don't like the guy. Nah, something. There's something going on there.
$8,000 for a hit.
I got a great story for you.
$8,000. That's it.
It's crazy.
You can't say it on air? No kids going to school now. It's summertime, baby. There's right. No rules.
I'll clean it up.
There's no rules.
I'll clean it up. When Mayor and I... we're looking to adopt.
Oh, no.
It's basically, it's the whole thing, man, is a mess.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess.
Oh, no.
And it's anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 to adopt. You're talking about $30,000 to $40,000, basically, is what we're looking at, right? It's actually much charged by the pound. $30,000 to $40,000, whatever. And which is...
I can go get a dog for like $40,000.
Bunch of attorney fees and all that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, more people would adopt if it wasn't so doggone expensive. And I wish we had better adoption plans here, and foster plans here in the country. Foster system's hard and adoption's hard. It's not easy. And anyway, it's corrupt and all that kind of. Anyway, a buddy of mine is told one time that if you want to take this person out, for $18,000, you can get it done. And he's like, what? He goes, yeah, his friend came. He knows the guy. I said, hey, man, you know what? $18,000, we can take this person out. I'm like, let me get this right. It costs you $40,000 to come in the world, $18,000 to get out. We depreciate as human beings. What? I cleaned it up pretty good. I'll tell you the rest of the story off the air. All right, we're going to take a break.
What kind of people are you hanging out with?
I don't know.
That you're aware of the meth problem in Pickens and Oconee County, and you know hitmen.
Well, my local authorities... I'm happening to, and you know some of our local brave men and women in blue. And so I ask questions, man. I eat lunch with these fellas and see them around town. I'll ask them, hey, man, what's going on? What are y'all working on? I got one of my really, really good friends is a U.S. Marshal here in the upstate. And so I ask 100 questions about what's going on. I love the law enforcement stuff.
I want to be an air marshal one day.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you get so tired of that, though.
You think so?
Yeah. I think you just get... extremely tired of traveling with that. Because, I don't know, man. It's not like you're going to go for a month and stay in a certain part of the country and five. You know, like you're flying 2 to 3 to 4 flights every day.
Yeah, but you're not really going through security the whole time, right? You know, you're flying. I love flying.
Yeah, but man, it wears you out too, doesn't it?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think you get tired of that. I knew a flight attendant.
Yeah.
It's like, man, at third flight of the day, that second flight, the long flight back and forth, it's like, oh man, this wears you out. I think you get tired of it.
How'd you know this woman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How'd you know her?
Just went to high school with her. Anyway, short break. We'll come back. When we do, Josh Williams will be here. Josh tells me that it's going to be U.S. Open extravaganza. Our little bear, our baby cub, is going to have picks and values by tier. Remember that? He's got the three tiers that he talks about. And then a 10-year historical trends to identify the winner of the U.S. Open. And I'll just go ahead and tell you now, Mr. 24, I'm going to leave you with this in this segment. David Duval correctly picked Tiger Woods to win the Masters this year, live on the Golf Channel. He correctly predicted Brooks Koepka to win the U.S. Open, to win the PGA Championship last month. And he made his pick last night for the U.S. Open. Have you seen it? You already have? Brooks Koepka to win the third straight U.S. Open.
Brooks Koepka?
Yeah, Koepka. Unbelievable, huh?
I mean, we'll see what happens. I hope he's wrong.
Me too. Hope it's T-Dub. I like Koepka, though.
Do you?
He's just so dumb.
I don't think he's that dumb.
I think he's dumb as a box of rocks.
I think you lump him in with Dustin Johnson, who is, and make no mistake about this, a moron.
I think Brooks is dumb too.
But I don't think Brooks Koepka is on that level. Of
Brooks is one of these guys that's like, he's so dumb that he never gets in his own way. Yeah. Brooks never overthinks anything.
What's the Phil Mickelson quote?
You either got to be really, really smart or really, really dumb to win major championship golf. And he fits in that dumb category. So, but good for him, man. He hits his ball, he goes and finds it, and he hits it again. And it just seems to work out pretty doggone good for him.
You know what? That's the basic premise of the game.
Don't complicate it.
Hit it, go find it.
Hey, let me tell you something, bud. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many times I give this advice to people. Friends of mine struggling through relationships, struggling through addiction, struggling through loss of jobs, struggling through physical pain, struggling through bad relationships with their families. And I said it simple here, bud. Life is simple, man. As human beings, we complicate it. It's supposed to be lived simply. As human beings, we find ways to complicate every situation that we're in. And part of the reason why Brooks Koepka is so good at golf is he does not complicate it because he's incapable of complicating.
Hit it. Go hit it again.
Find
keep,
it.
Keep your head
it
down.
Not necessarily keep your head down. He's got to kind of come
go
up.
Go hit it bit again.
Yeah, that's it. Hit it, find it, go hit it again. But just hit it less than everybody else hits it. That's what he does. Trail, TREHEL.com, TREHEL.com. I want to talk to you a little bit about who these people are and about really, and it's not the reason that they put their logos on their trucks and all their equipment out there, but you can see a difference. And I have lived temporarily in a couple different units that they were building at the time, and continuing to add on. And I'll tell you, man, these are friendly people. And when I walk in the doors at Trail, it's a friendly atmosphere and a friendly environment. And people might say, hey, bud, I don't care about that. Build my building, build it on time, build it on budget. And they do that. But my point is, because these men and women pick their kids up from school, take their kids to school, have dinner ready for their kids, they tuck their kids in at night, they're with their families and all over the world, the environment that is created, the culture that is Trail, means these people are in better moods. They take pride in what they do. They love their company, and it just works. And it works time and time and time again that you're dealing with someone who loves your job. How many times you go to a drive-thru and you can say, man, that person lost their passion for their job? Doesn't happen at Trail. That makes a difference in the everyday, the little stuff around there. On top of that, yes, it will be done on time. It will be done on budget. TREHEL.com. They don't build single family homes. They build everything else. Find out why Trail is so different, so special, and so unique. It's our great friends at Trail. 800-319-7006. Josh Williams comes back. We'll talk some U.S. Open odds and U.S. Open picks right after this.
You don't have to travel far to find a great hand-cut steak for Father's Day. The Corner Butcher has what you crave to make your dad the envy of your neighbors when you fire up the grill. The Corner Butcher, Patrick Square, 654-2333.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Hi, friends. This is Don Munson for Engineered Sleep, 627 Congrey Road in Greenville. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you, for over 30 years, my wife and I slept on the same mattress. Well, thank heaven for Engineered Sleep. We went to their showroom and had a custom mattress built to our specs for half the cost. Our sleep has never been so good. So if you want the best night's sleep possible, go see the fine folks at Engineered Sleep, 627 Congrey Road in Greenville, or check out their website, engineeredsleep.com. That's engineeredsleep.com.
Have you ever dreamed of making money flipping houses? Did you know the average flip brings in $63,000 per deal? With numbers like that, it doesn't have to be a dream. With market pressure to create affordable housing, the time to buy, fix, and flip for profit has never been better. Over the past 10 years, Nick Vertucci has earned millions flipping houses using his proven flipping strategy. Nick has identified the Greenville area as a prime market to buy low and sell high. And now Nick is coming to Greenville to teach a free 2-hour flipping workshop. So if you have questions, the Nick Vertucci Real Estate Academy has answers. Learn to find money making flips and creative cash partners to do your deals. Text the word LAND to 72000 right now for free VIP tickets and a copy of Nick's House Flipping 101 kit. If you've ever considered flipping houses as your path to financial freedom, text the word LAND to 72000 now for free tickets and House Flipping 101 kit. Text the word LAND, that's L-A-N-D, to 72000 now.
Ride into your Sea-Doo life with features like more usable space, superior stability, and a sound system that sinks. Add to that the release of the all-new Fish Pro, the industry's first personal watercraft designed for fishing, and there's never been a better time to get aboard a Sea-Doo. Order your Sea-Doo now and get 2 years of coverage or up to $800 rebate on select models. Your Sea-Doo life starts at just $53.99 at Foothills Motorsports in Powdersville. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
This week at Party City, turn up the heat on your summer with these great deals. It's time to enjoy that pool with buy one, get one 50% off giant pool inflatables. Or pick up solid color plastic table covers at just $2 for $1. And our 50-count 16-ounce party cups are buy two, get one free. That's right, buy two, get one free. Do your summer upright, only at Party City. Oh, it's on. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
Wake up. The Mickey Plyler Show.
On 105.5 The Roar.
Well, butter my butt and call me a biscuit.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do.
Now there's... Now, I'm kind of turning into a watch guy now. You know that?
Me too, buddy.
I've got my my hook and gaff. I've got my my Gucci. So, you know, I'm a watch guy now. Thanks goodness to Reed's Jewelers, REEDS.com, upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Hey, it's watch month. And what I'm telling you, if you want to go sporty, if you want to go classic, they can take care of you. Father's Day is this weekend. Let them take care of you over at Reed's Jewelers, REEDS.com, upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Go by and see our great friends over at Reed's Jewelers. Wally Odom is a watch connoisseur. He has... Wally told me one time, like, how many watches he has. Like, it's good. But he knows everything about every make and every model that you have there. So the top of the line, those luxurious watches, the sporty gun and the classical kind, you're gonna love it. Take advantage of some great specials going on right now with Watch Month at Reed's Jewelers, REEDS.com, upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Our cub, our little bear, Josh Williams joins us now, talks some Vegas stuff. What's up, cub? How you doing this morning?
Doing all right. I guess I'm going to catalog that into something I never heard would think would come out of your mouth, Mickey Plyler. Yeah. I'm a Gucci watch, if I heard that correctly.
Oh, Gucci watch. I thought you meant you being our cub. Oh, no. No, it was a gift for our 20th anniversary, which is awfully nice. No doubt about that. You do picks and values by tier, which is great. And explain these tiers as far as the break off for 100 to 1, 50 to 1, 75 to 1. What how's the tiers work for you?
I kind of call the upper tier basically 20 to 1 or less. And you know the long shots are basically, you know, triple digits, 100 to 1 or more, and then the middle tier is anything kind of in the middle.
All right, give me some values. Give me some picks for that long shot tier, the guys that we're not talking a whole lot about right now.
I think there's a couple. I think if I had to hone in on one, I think it would be Jim Furyk at 125 to 1. With length not really being a factor here, probably going to be very few that keep the ball in play better than him, that hit more, probably maybe even nobody that hits more fairways than him. And with it being on a track where the scoring, obviously being a U.S. Open, is going to be compressed and it's not a birdie fest, and the scores are going to be closer to even par, I kind of like his chances. If I had to highlight a couple other ones, I would maybe look at Tyrrell Hatton maybe at 150 to 1, and maybe as a dart, maybe another West Coast guy that's had some success at Pebble and Chez Reavie at 150 to 1. But Furyk would be the one I would really kind of hone in on that I would feel pretty good about.
All right, mid-tier guys. Who are the guys that are out on that fringe of getting in that top tier that you like?
There's a bunch of them. You got Jason Day at 25 to 1. He's one that obviously you like his length off the tee, but he's one where his driving accuracy numbers really have a huge jump when you're taking driver out of his hand. He's played in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro in the last 5 years. His worst finish is tied 11th, and that includes four top fives there. I mean, I'm going to keep picking Xander Schauffele at 25 to 1, and I guess until he wins one and his odds drop. But he always seems to show up in these big events, and he's contended and was in the top 10 in the last two U.S. Opens there. Adam Scott is another one. His ball striking, obviously, this year is probably as good as it has ever been. He's in his last 100 rounds, he's never been outside the top 100 in the strokes gained approach. He led the field in that in his last event and contending there, finishing, I believe it was second at the Memorial. I think Justin Thomas is interesting there at basically 25 or 30 to 1. You're never going to get him at odds this low. Obviously, he had the long layoff after the Masters, didn't play the PGA, but it looked like he really kind of found his game a little bit last week as the week progressed, and he was second to McIlroy in strokes gained tee to green last week up in Canada. He just had a really, really poor putting week. Hideki Matsuyama would be another at 40 to 1. His, you know, if he makes any putts, it's a bonus. But me being on a Seaside Poena course where it's going to be hard to make putts anyway, you know, it kind of knocks down his disadvantage for not making putts, because I don't think some of those others will be making as much as they would on a normal week. I see it's hard not to like Webb Simpson there at 40 to 1, and one that probably will never win, but he always seems to kind of be in contention, is Paul Casey. He's at 50 to 1. You know, he's the only player on tour that to be in the top 20 in both driving accuracy and ball striking, which would definitely seem to set up well this week.
And then finally, our top end guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's seven guys there basically at 20 to 1 or less. I can kind of make a case for and against pretty much all of them. I don't really see a lot of value there. I think, you know, DJ and Koepka are both 8 to 1. You know, I don't know about you. Obviously, DJ's got a good track record here, but at least as far as Koepka goes, being this type of track where the combination of length and accuracy is not as much of a big deal as you can club down. I think that negates a lot of his advantage. So I guess I'm not saying there's a – if there ever was a week to pick against him, I think it's this one. But he's just one of those that really kind of ramps up his focus in the majors and that really kind of catches attention. So, I mean, always be nervous picking against him. But I think this is one where there's a lot more people in play and a lot different type of players in play as opposed to these last few majors that he's won. If I have to maybe pick one – that's in that tier, I think it would probably be Tiger, because it's basically the complete opposite of Best Page. He's not going to have to smash driver the whole time, which obviously isn't his strength. So the medium to shorter length courses puts a premium on the iron game, and he can club down off the tee. I think is definitely when he's at 10-1.
All right, you had some prop bets out there. These are always fun, and I'll be honest with you, I normally see prop bets, but being a little bit on vacation and a little bit out of the loop a little bit heading into it, I've not seen any of these. We had some interesting prop bets this year?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm doing some of these, I just kind of look at guys that maybe I kind of want to target to play against, maybe either in maybe matchups or to miss the cut. I think John Rahm is kind of one of the main ones. He's the one that would be in that middle tier at 25-1 to win, but he's struggled lately. The main strength of his game is his off the tee game, being especially with his driver. Obviously that's negated with the length of the course here, but he's actually had negative numbers there as far as his metrics there in the last few events, and he hasn't been very good. So I could take a flyer on him at plus 250 to miss the cut, and maybe even play against him in some matchups there. Like I see an Adam Scott head-to-head matchup with him, Scott minus 120. I could do that there. Bryson DeChambeau is kind of another one, and obviously his form has not been good. He'd be plus 225 to miss the cut. I see him in a matchup head-to-head with Matt Kuchar. Kuchar is minus 135. That looks appealing there. And another one would be Bubba Watson. Obviously, we know the U.S. Open, I think he's played in 8 of them, missed the cut in 5 of them. His best finish is around 32nd. So, if things kind of start going sideways early in the week, he just kind of mentally checks out. So, that would be another one maybe to play against there. But some values maybe, to finish in the top 5. I saw Tiger at plus 260. That looks pretty appealing. And maybe some longer odds maybe on Justin Thomas at plus 450. Jason Day, Adam Scott, and Hideki all at plus 500. Basically, throwing darts there, you hit at least one of them, that gets your money back on the whole thing, if not a little bit ahead. And it's in top 10. Obviously, some of these are crossovers. Justin Thomas is plus 230, Jason Day being plus 275, along with Tommy Fleetwood, who's fared well the last 2 years in the U.S. Opens there. Hideki and Adam Scott both at plus 275, and Xander plus 280, and even some of the longer odds there. Maybe Webb Simpson at plus 300. You also got Furyk at plus 500 as the long shot for the group.
And then finally, you had some historical data. Look, we've got all the U.S. Opens there, but we also have U.S. Opens in the past, and we've got the AT&T kind of stuff. What's our analytics tell us about the recent trends in historical data?
So this will be the 6th, I believe, U.S. Open there at Pebble Beach. So there have been a total of 12 guys finish under par in all of those U.S. Opens, and I believe 75% of those were in the 1982 U.S. Open with Tom Watson winning there. So I kind of think the winning score may be around 5 under. And when you look at the data for basically the winners this decade, there's 10 qualifiers there, age 32 or under. The player is ranked in the top 30 in the world. He has played in at least 3 U.S. Opens in his history and recorded a top 20 in a U.S. Open. He has posted a top 3 finish at least some point in this calendar year. He's made the top 8 in one of his last 3 starts, showing the recent form. makes the cut in the previous major. That would be obviously new to this, but PGA has won a tournament on American soil in his career. Is over the 20-1 betting, so it'd be in that middle tier like we talked about, and one who did not play the week before. And when you look at those 10 qualifiers, it narrows it. There's only one player that it hones in on that meets all of those, and that's Hideki Matsuyama. He's in his late 20s. He's ranked 29th in the world. He was tied for second in the 2017 U.S. Open. This will be his seventh, I believe. He had a top three finish earlier in the year on the West Coast at Torrey Pines, and he was sixth in his last start at Memorial 2 weeks ago, and he did not play in last week's event.
Very interesting. We will see. Quickly, I'm looking at it now as far as his U.S. Open history. 10th, 35th, 18th cut, 2nd, 16th. We'll see if he gets his very first one coming up. Great stuff. Hey, high scores, low scores, medium score. What kind of scores are you thinking about?
You know, last time I think even par was the winning score. I think it's definitely going to be under par, being that they may be a little more conservative, trying not to create disaster like they have in some of these last few setups. So I would think be around 500 par with, you know, but I definitely think there'll be multiple people that finish under par.
I'm going to go with 15. I think you'll see some unbelievable scoring there. We'll see how it turns out. Hey, let's review it and talk about it next week, man. I always appreciate it, buddy.
Sounds good. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. That's Josh Williams. A lot of data. A lot of analytics in there. A lot of information in there. Hope you're paying attention. U.S. Open getting ready to tee off here in 2 hours and 5 minutes. All right, Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. Call them today. Get your garage floor done today. Here's what you do. Just let them come and show you what the colors they have, the chips, what those chips look like, how they mean, how I can mix certain chips in there, the finish that they put on the floors, before and after pictures of other garages. Let them measure your garage. People ask all the time, said, man, what's this going to cost me? I was like, man, I don't know how big a garage is. I mean, it's a square footage deal. So why not call Carolina Flooring Specialist today? It's a no-obligation phone call. Tim Worley will come by, set an appointment, and start the process for you. You want great-looking floors, increase the value of your home. It's our great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. Again, 404-8158. Bradley LeCroy joins us. We'll get an update on the signees and the draft. Wilkie signed. We'll get an update on where that stands. We'll also talk about position battles going into the fall, what freshmen might come in and play early, and what the fall could look like with Clemson baseball. Short break, big baseball segment right after this.
The choice for custom meats has arrived in Clemson. Treat Dad for Father's Day with a steak from the Corner Butcher in Patrick Square. Hand-cut meats to his liking, ready to smother your grill and delight his palate. 654-2333, the Corner Butcher.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Don't forget, the Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is a perfect location for wedding rehearsals, large groups, office parties, graduation parties, family reunions, and birthday celebrations. The Blue Heron can also take care of your catering needs. Locally owned and operated, the Blue Heron is proud to serve Tiger fans the finest steaks and freshest seafood around. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for menu and more information.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Sign up is free, and you get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Looking to protect your engine and start that oil change? Get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $26.99. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store. AutoZone.
Father's Day savings at the Home Depot means more meat on the grill for less money on the table. Right now, the exclusive NexGrill 5-Burner Gas Grill is only $169, a $199 value. With 5 burners for more even cooking and enough grilling area for 23 burgers at once, your inner chef is going to want to cook out. Today is the day for doing with the Next Grill 5-Burner Gas Grill, just $169, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
With enough muscle for the most demanding lawn mowing situations, the Husqvarna lawn mowers are the superior choice. They're the new standard in professional mowing, offering limitless cutting with their Husqvarna MZ zero-turn mowers. Easily Lawn and Garden could sell just about any mower. However, they've chosen the Husqvarna family of mowers and Husqvarna landscaping products because they know they get the job done. See for yourself what the pros are saying about Husqvarna on their website. Then see the pros at Easy Lawn and Garden and discover what the Husqvarna zero-turn mower experience is all about. There's no job too tough to tackle for Husqvarna zero-turn mower. From the Husqvarna MZT52 up to the Husqvarna Z572X, your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years. Veteran and family-owned and operated, Easy Lawn and Garden, 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley, online at easleylawn.com.
All the sports from last night and everything you need going into today.
Coming through loud and clear.
It's the Mickey Plyler Show. Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Oh, what's he gonna do? You wanna get out?
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Wanted to bring in Coach Bradley LeCroy, talk where we are now, draft, where we are calendar-wise, where we are with a bunch of position battles heading into the fall and wrapping up this season. Good morning, Coach LeCroy. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. How about you, Mickey?
Man, we are fantastic. I told you, well, you didn't hear this. After we got off with you last week, I am bullish on Clemson baseball, man. I think that this next team's going to be a really, really good deal. I like this pitching coming back. I like all these guys coming back. I wanted to get you on to talk about some of that. If we can, let's go back. I know Wilkie signed yesterday. Can you kind of give us an update on where the signees are, where the draft is, and decisions these guys? Is anybody still out there that hadn't made a decision yet? Kind of give us an update there.
No, I mean, we pretty much know what's going to happen. I mean, I guess there's some you know, obviously anything can happen, but obviously Wilkie signed yesterday, which, you know, is great for Kyle. He was a, you know, great part of our program, tough competitor, and had a good career at Clemson. And Owen Griffith also signed with the Twins, so we're happy for Owen to move on to professional baseball. Logan is flying out to Sunday to Oakland, as long as anything, you know, there's no hiccups there. He's going to fly out to Oakland and have a press conference and should be signed, you know, early next week. As far as the incoming guys, I mean, we feel good about them. You know, they're going to be enrolling in summer school next week. So they'll be on campus, ready to go to take a couple summer classes, go ahead and start that strength and conditioning program and move into their apartment. So, you know, the draft is kind of settled for us. I mean, obviously we're always looking, and if we have room, we might, you know, add a grad transfer, you know, or maybe a junior college transfer here late if we have room and there's a need for it.
You talked about high school guys. We know Nunez, last time we talked to you, he was going to sign. One I didn't ask you about was Gavin. Is it Collier, the kid from Buford? I'm not sure if I'm saying the name right. The pitcher from Buford. Any news on him?
Yeah. I think there's a really good chance that Gavin's going to go ahead and start his professional career. He has kind of an overpay slot with the Rangers. So we feel like Gavin's most likely going to go ahead and start his career, yes.
Okay. Anybody that we know of that has eligibility coming that could come back that might not or transfer out? Have we gotten any news of that, of guys that might not be – that were on scholarship last year that still had eligibility remaining that might not be coming back?
No. Everybody, as for now, is coming back. I mean, obviously you know, Clemson's a great place, and guys are thriving in our program, and the university's thriving, and it's a great place. So everybody's coming back as of now.
All right, there's two guys that lineup wise that I think you could make decisions on that kind of shape the rest of it. And I'll get your thoughts on it. First is Sharp, and second is Hall. Is there a plan moving forward with Sharp about just pitching, just the positions, or both, or and all that? What's the thought process as we enter the end up the season on where he might do it and what he might do in the future?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, for Davis, obviously, you know, he's pretty good both ways, especially on the mound. But we're going to continue to let him hit. I mean, because he's got some upside. He's got some power. He's got a chance to, you know, physically, if he can handle it, he's got a chance to be a middle of the order bat for us. Now, and most likely with the as much as he pitches and the impact he has on our pitching staff, that's most likely got to be at the DH role. Obviously, we could play him at first a little bit. He's a really, really good third baseman, and was in high school and can really play there. But it's tough because of, you know, just the stress on the arm and making that throw every day in practice and in the game. So, you know, going forward, he's probably going to, you know, obviously pitch a lot for us, and we'll continue to hit him. But most likely his role will be in the DH spot.
And the other one is Hall. By the way, I was in a convenience store going to Myrtle Beach the other day, and this little kid's in the bathroom, and he's got a Clemson hat on. We come out, and I go, "Hey, man, go Tigers." He goes, "Yeah, my brother plays for Clemson." I went, "Who?" He goes, "Sam Hall." I was like, "Hey, man, good to see you. Cool little fella." Anyway, they said they were just getting back from they're going to take him up to Cape Cod, or he's going up to Cape Cod here soon. Sam Hall's a guy who can play anywhere. Do you start out with him kind of in a position to build around that, or do you build around everything and then kind of fit him in where there might be some weaknesses?
I think you build around knowing in the back of your mind that he can play anywhere. Obviously, you know, Sam came in as a shortstop, and has played shortstop a lot his freshman year in inter-squad situations. Didn't play as much last year. So we're going to give Sam every chance to play shortstop next year. I think my gut tells me that, you know, he probably winds end up, you know, at second base for us. Because he is so good at second base defensively, and obviously we know what he can do. He's a dynamic player offensively. But he's going to stay in the fall. We're going to concentrate on him in the middle of the infield, you know, at shortstop and second base, you know, with the competition with some other guys. So I think that's where we're going to go. But we always know that, you know, if we need to stick him out in center field, we can stick him in center field. We can play him in left, right, third, wherever we need to. So, you know, he's a great value to have, that's for sure.
All right, that is a deal there, and no doubt about that and his athleticism. How about replacing Davison at shortstop if it's not Hall? You got Parker, and you got some guys that have played that. You also got a freshman I know you talked about last week, Pierce Gallo, the kid from Marietta. Talk to us about shortstop and maybe some of the candidates we could see there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we just talked about Sam Hall. We're really high on James Parker, young man from T.L. Hanna High School that – you know, got some time this year at second and third base, got some starts, got some at-bats, got hurt later in the season and in the freak play against the Citadel. But we're really high on James, especially defensively. He's a plus defender with a plus arm. You know, he's got some things he's got to work on offensively, but he's an athletic kid. He's going to be a physical guy that's going to be able to swing the bat. So we're really excited about him, and we feel like he's got a chance. You know, if he hits enough, he's got a chance to be an all-ACC shortstop and another really good pick at the shortstop position for us, you know, after his junior year. And then we're really high on Pierce Gallo, too. Pierce is very similar to James as far as, you know, a 6'3 athletic kid that's, you know, he's kind of already physical, really good defender. You know, we'll just have to see how Pierce, you know, comes along offensively. These freshmen, you know, sometimes it's tough on them. And the fall's tough, and we're going to see how he handles the bat. But, you know, he's going to get a really strong look, and he's going to be a good player for us.
Corner infielders, you talked about Sharp maybe playing, I don't know, first or DH in a lot of that. Briar Hawkins did an unbelievable job. I know you got some freshmen as well, and then some for those that don't play in the middle infield can move around as well. What are the thoughts about both corner infield spots?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of those guys in the middle obviously can play over at third base. And, you know, our biggest thing is we're going to try to transition Briar Hawkins over to third base in the fall. He's got really good hands. He was limited a little bit this year in spring with an injury. He had a sports hernia. He played all spring with a sports hernia. So he's actually having surgery tomorrow to get that cleaned up. And he played second base his whole life growing up. So we feel like for our best lineup next year on paper is for Briar to play third base, and it opens up some spots in the lineup for some other guys. So we're gonna see how that goes. But then also we got those other guys in Sam Hall and James Parker and Pierce Gallo. We got a freshman Reagan Reed coming in that can hit, that can play third base. So there's gonna be some moving parts over there. But we're excited about seeing what Briar can do at third base.
First base candidates over there at first?
Yeah, you got Breyer. I mean, obviously you got Chad Ferry, who came on really good, really well at the end of the season, who's where I think's going to really hit. I mean, he's going to be a middle-of-the-order hitter. He started out really slow this year, but he turned it on at the end. You got Sharp, obviously. And then, you know, one of the catchers, both of them can play first base when they're not catching, if they're swinging the bat good enough, and that's Hackenberg and French.
All right, in the outfield, you got some guys returning. Let's talk about some of those candidates and maybe some of the thoughts about some of those guys in places that the outfield could fit. It seems like there's a lot of experience, a lot of moving parts out there in the outfield as well.
Yeah, I mean, we get the outfield coming back. I mean, obviously, Teodosio's back in center field, and Bryce is a really good defender, and he'll show you flashes offensively. You know, we got a good plan for Bryce this summer. To go out and prove, and you know, one thing that Bryce knows, and we all know, he's got to make more contact. He's got to cut his strikeouts down, and put the ball in play a little bit more. But he's so good defensively in center field. We got Michael Green coming back, who obviously missed 8-9 weeks of the season, but when he was in there, he did some really, really good things, and he's off. You know, he's off to a really good start in summer baseball. He hit a home run first at bat the other night. He's a dynamic player that hits at the top of the order, and then. Obviously, we got Mikowski coming back that logged a lot at bats. You know, cross your fingers, hopefully. You know, Kier's going to be 100%. I mean, that guy's a All-American waiting to happen if we can keep him healthy. I mean, he's got, you know, game-changing speed, the bat, the athleticism, the power. You know, so we just got to keep Kier healthy. And then, you know, one of the guys that turned down a lot of money coming to school was Dylan Brewer. You know, he's a 6'5", left-handed hitting outfielder, athletic, can play all three positions in the outfield, can play first base from Lattah, South Carolina. We really thought there was a good chance we might lose this guy from a seven-figure bonus, but, you know, Dylan and his family stuck to a number and valued the education at Clemson and his experience, and we're excited about him. He's kind of a, you know, the guys, people that know Clemson baseball, he's kind of a mixture of a Tyler Colvin / Steven Duggar. So we can't wait to get that guy on campus.
Well, that combination works for Clemson baseball fans. Hackenberg and French behind the plate. You saw a little bit earlier where you're catching two guys earlier. Can you see that? Can you see those guys playing? You mentioned before maybe some first base, maybe some DH in there as well. Those guys good enough to do multiple things both behind the plate and elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these two guys, we feel really good about our catching position. I mean, Adam Hackenberg was a highly recruited guy that, you know, at times showed some flashes of freshman, but, you know, he was behind a pretty good catcher in Wilkie, and we're really high on Adam. Really catching throw guy, really good, got some power. Needs to cut the swing and miss down, as we know, but he's going to be really good. And then Jonathan French, you know, plays at Parkview High School, who won another state championship in 7A in Georgia. You know, state player of the year, can really hit. And he's a great leader, great makeup. Chan Brown, the high school coach there, does an unbelievable job. So if you get a guy from him, they're going to know how to play the game, and they're going to be tough and competitive. So we're excited about Frenchie. And those guys can DH, play first. Frenchie's a good enough athlete where if we need to stick him in the outfield, we can play him in left to right. So those two guys are going to be behind the dish, and we're looking forward to working with those guys.
I want to get your thoughts here in the final 2 or 3 minutes or so on the pitching. It was an issue this year, but the good news is you got a lot of guys, a lot of experience, and I think you got some balance with right-handers and left-handers, some confidence with some younger guys maybe being a factor there, development being a factor there. Give us an idea of some of the names that you're looking forward to and some of those roles that you're looking forward to and help defining the fall.
Yeah, I mean, we feel really good about the staff. I know Coach C is excited about working with them. Especially with all the guys that are coming back. You know, we threw all those freshmen in Lindley and Askew and Sharp, obviously had a great year, and Robleski. And those guys are going to be a year better. I mean, they had some freshman moments, but they had some really, really good moments. And then you got the group that's coming back in Jones and Weatherly. You know, we got Carson Spires coming back, our closer, who did an outstanding job for us and means so much to our program. And then we're excited about, you know, obviously we got two big arms, like big power velo arms coming back off surgery, and Spencer Strider and Carter Rathfield's a freshman who's got a really good arm. So those guys will be back in the mix, you know, early spring next year, and you know, January once practice starts. And then the guys that are coming in, I mean, freshmen, we've got some guys that they're going to pitch a lot. You know, Mac Anglin's a big righty out of Ohio. who was a top, Team USA, top 50 prospect. He's going to come to school. Nick Hoffman's a right-hander who had a chance to sign professionally. He's going to come to school. Jeffrey Gilbert's a lefty out of Charleston who's going to help us. And then we got a couple, Nick Clayton and Paul Labrelli, two big 6'5", 6'6", kids that are very projectable. So we're excited about it. I mean, Coach C's got a lot of weapons to work with and a lot of guys that have a ton of experience from last year that are going to be a year better. I mean, the biggest jump that any guys make in our sport, and a lot of sports, is from that freshman to sophomore year. So we feel good about where our pitching staff's at.
No doubt about that. I do as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun keeping up with. Let's visit in the fall. We get so busy with football around here. Imagine that. But I'd love to visit after fall wraps up because I know it's a huge time for you guys. Between now and then, great luck with camps and great luck with your travel because I know you're out there burning the pavement up. But can't thank you enough for a great season of checking in with us every single week and your patience with us and certainly looking forward to hearing more about great things in the fall.
Okay, I appreciate you guys having me on, and have a great day.
All right, buddy. That's our good friend Bradley Lecroy, hardworking. And I told you last week, buddy, I'm really, really, really bullish on Clemson baseball moving forward. There's a lot of athleticism in his last two or three recruiting classes. Now, it'll be the third straight recruiting class that you like moving forward. When we come back, speaking of recruiting, Paul Strelo is going to join us. Clemson football has got some camp news over there. There's superstars everywhere from California and Texas everywhere. We'll get Paul's thoughts on the Dabo Swinney football camp 2.0 when you come back.